This is Art Moves. Art Moves is a series of curated conversations at the intersection of art, innovation, and social justice.
Each week, we'll be talking with the innovative thinkers and doers who are forging new ground in the creative arts or redefining what it means to be creative.
I'm Tony Williams.
And I'm Eli Koslansky.
And we're your host for Art Moves. Today, we'll be talking with Solomé Asega. Now, you are the new executive director of New Ink. And I just wanted to read this quote about you, Solomé. Solomé is the next generation of leadership and a role model for the interdisciplinary nature of the future of work, said Lisa Phillips. She is a creative technologist, a thoughtful strategist, and an empathetic community builder who will shape the next chapter of growth for New Ink. That's quite a tall order over there. I mean, you are something. So talk to us just a little bit about your work.
Yeah, so I joined New Ink about 7 months ago as director, and I kind of have a long history with the program. I was an alumni of the program in its third year, where I joined with a group of friends and we started a nonprofit organization called Power Plant, which is still around today and is based in Bushwick.
I saw it on YouTube. It was excellent. That was really interesting.
So Power Plant is we call it a digital art collaboratory, and we host sliding scale workshops for young people in the neighborhood to learn emerging technology skills from established media artists. And, you know, we were a group of artists who were just thinking about the kind of access to resources we had, but didn't really have any like legal basic skills or business modeling skills. Didn't really know how to start a nonprofit.
Wow.
And we were like, where do we go?
Yeah.
And we were lucky to get plugged into the New Ink ecosystem. We applied. We were there for 2 years and learned all we needed to know to build the foundation to this organization. And from there, I stayed connected to New Ink. I was a mentor in the program. Later on, I joined the Ford Foundation as a technology fellow and learned about New Ink from the funder side, right? And really understood the organization and how it was thinking about growth. And then a couple years passed and the job opened up and I put my name in the ring and it worked.
So interesting. Yeah, so you've seen it from all different aspects of it.
Yeah, I have a real 360, I feel.
I think there's nothing like being the user, seriously, of an organization to really understand its significance.
Member, right?
Yeah, yeah. So talk to us about New Ink. What is New Ink?
So New Ink is a cultural incubator, and I've started to say it's an artist services program that really helps creative practitioners across art, design, technology, science, and architecture think about building sustainable careers and also launch projects and initiatives. So all the kinds of things you don't learn in a formal MFA program, we're here to help supplement. Because artists, art practices, our studio practices are like little businesses, right? And so that kind of infrastructural support is important to know to ensure success in the long term.
It's a totally unique program, especially for museums, right? The reason I know it well, actually, because I've been a mentor there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually a cultural incubator. So it's in some ways redefining what it means to be a creative artist or whatever you want. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. We're a place to help you think through conceptually how your projects can grow or find root. Right? Like everyone who comes to New Ink has a seed to plant and we're the garden. But we also help you think about the business side of your projects. We help you think about how to build a team, right? And how to also pay for that team to exist, right? And so I think what makes this a program like this unique is that like Eli said, it's happening all within the context of a museum, right? Which is in a very traditional sense, a place that presents, right, or exhibits work. And here we are, a lab, right, kind of messy place with hybrid practice, like, is able to take shape and form. We, like, allow for that kind of multiplicity, right? And Eli, you've probably been to the space. You remember, I've joined during pandemic, but you can probably speak best to you what the atmosphere of the space
don't
is
hold
like.
Back, Eli.
Yeah, to give it to us.
No, I think about when I think of New Ink, it's in some ways more than just a lab and a community. It's really like a family in a way. And in a lot of ways, you know, I've had relationships that go beyond the membership program. But it does provide a lot. Provides quite a bit, not just space, but mentoring, things like that. But also, it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about what it provides members and also what it provides mentors and what mentors do for the members.
Yeah, because is there a financial exchange in here somewhere?
Well, I think they pay a certain fee per month or something, a nominal fee, right?
Let's start at the beginning.
Like, how's
totally,
it work?
Let's start at the beginning. Right. So New Ink has four main offerings. We offer professional development, we offer mentorship, community programming, and a shared workspace. The professional development program is, really rigorous, and it includes the workshops around building a sustainable career, but it is also flexible and adaptable based on what the current cohort is saying that they need. So, for example, this year we have a bunch of creative practitioners who are interested in publishing books, and so we've hosted workshops that grant them access to various publishers. Our mentorship program, includes 150 plus incredible experts across domains, of which Eli is one. And our members have various tiers of access to this network. There are mentors in residence who oversee a track. So we like to split our incubator members onto like sub-thematic lines of inquiry. So that's things like art and code, creative science, collective abundance, extended reality. So a mentor oversees over each one of those areas. Then we have dedicated mentorship. So each one of the members in our program has a one-on-one relationship with someone. That's what Eli is doing. And then we have office hour mentors. So these are people who pop in for 2 hours, every kind of quarter to meet with people, do virtual studio visits.
Is there an application process? And then are you vetted? Meaning, what's the likelihood of being is there an age? I know you couldn't tell me there's an age thing, but I'm listening to this saying, man, I might be able to value out of this. Because how does that work?
It's a pretty wide age group that's in there.
Absolutely.
Age is not a factor.
Age is not a factor.
But the application process is something I think our listeners would want to know. What goes into that? Mm-hmm. What are you looking for?
So every spring we run an open call. We actually just closed our open call on Sunday. So it usually ends by end of April. And the application is pretty brief because we want people to express themselves beyond just kind of a traditional application. So there are a couple of text fields, right? But really the star of the application is a deck that you can design spatially in any way that makes sense, that represents the kind of seed you're hoping to plant at New Ink. What is the kind of project or initiative that is driving you at this moment? We have early career artists. We have parents who are thinking about a career shift. We have older practitioners who are thinking about ways to give back by starting some kind of organization or business, right? So there's really a range of people, and that's what makes it fun and exciting.
So how do people find out about this? Aside from people, I know that U.S. oftentimes the mentors do suggest people and also within their networks. How else would learn about it if you're not in that sort of...
That's such a good question, Eli, and it's something I'm thinking about very seriously. Because I want to get out of our little bubble. I think this kind of world of art, design, and technology can be a little insular. So what I've started to do is host more public programs and partnership with organizations that I feel are mission aligned. And I feel like then that brings in those audiences. So, if Brick wants to do something or...
You're looking for partnerships, right?
Looking for partnerships because that's how we expand our base.
You're listening to Art Moves on WNYE 91.5 FM.
We're talking with Salome Asega from New Inc. She's the executive director there. And we're talking about how do you expand, get more people to know about the program and expand the base of who your people you can.
And wouldn't some of that come from some of the projects that you've done that really get a lot of attention? And can you talk to us about maybe a few projects that help lift your profile?
Absolutely. I can speak to one project that immediately comes to mind called Movers and Shakers, which has been was an alumni of our program. They were in our program for 3 years. And they are producing an augmented reality app that critically engages with a contemporary conversation around monuments and who we get to commemorate in history, right, through public monuments. And so this AR app overlays someone that they feel like should be celebrated and remembered over existing monuments in New York City and elsewhere. And I love that kind of like guerrilla style use of technology to do really important, rigorous historical work. And they have just grown so much and recently received a giant investment from Mellon Foundation, which is very exciting for them. But for us, too, to know that, that you know,
that program was seeded with you guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else that comes to mind?
I learned recently, actually, that Telfar was in the first cohort at New Inc. And, you know, everyone wears a little Telfar bag in New York City now. That's the bag has been dubbed what is it, the Bushwick Birkin? So that's exciting to know. And I'm, you know, stepping into this role, I want to make sure that I'm reaching back to some of these early alumni who are very visible, you know, and doing really important and excellent work.
No, I was thinking about one of the other projects that comes to mind is that miniature museum group that was
Micro Museum,
yeah. That's a great idea. You want to talk a little bit about that? That was a fun project.
Yeah, Micro Museum.
And you can talk about it, too.
Yeah, I'm like, Eli, I want to hear your take on our community, too.
It was a museum in a box, and it was actually a brilliant idea. And what this group did, I forgot the name of these two. They're really great, these two. But they created these rentable museums. They were, you know, basically like a plinth. And it was a miniature museum, so it had like artifacts and it had like a little media and stuff like that. And what was interesting about it is a way to get the museum out of the, you know, white-walled kind of museum spaces into places where people are. Like
you know, pop-ups?
Yeah, like malls and, you know,
things like that. So you see a lot of pop-ups around climate change and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, somebody asked me, why do I, this is a lot of energy. It's great. I mean, I love being a mentor. It's like, also,
well, it's the ideas, you know, right? Being able to really talk to people on a number of different levels.
It's the people. And oftentimes I said to them, say, why am I mentoring them? They should be mentoring me.
But they kind of are. That's how mentoring works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Right. No, you're right. Yes. And the other aspect of it is that to answer that question, somebody asked me that, is that actually I get more out of it than I give, even though I give a lot.
Mm. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. So I give 110% and available.
And you get 200. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I really.
No, but it helps. I'm wondering, how tech savvy do you need to be in this program?
It varies.
What do you mean by varies?
Because there's some people who are programmers and PhD candidates and some people are not. Mm-hmm. And some things involve technology and some people are not. Mm-hmm. So it really, I mean, the gamut is like astonishing. That's the best way to describe it. Yeah, totally agree.
There's a very wide range of people. And actually, what that does, in fact, is spark collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes in the room, you know, someone will speaking about a need they have for a specific kind of skill. And then if they're speaking loud enough, someone down the way is like, I can do that for you.
Oh.
You know? I'm sure, Eli, you've also seen just so many collaborations just spark from being part of this cohort.
So is this in kind, basically, you're providing workspace, but New Inc folks, the incubator, you have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other services, it's like all the support services that go with incubating a business, essentially, right?
Well, as part of your membership fee, all of these things are included.
Okay.
And so we have subsidized rates to ensure that this is something that is, you know, manageable for folks who might not have the funds to do, you know, the full rate membership. that's important to us. So we are always reevaluating and thinking about how to ensure the door stays open. So
see, because my concern is, all right, you have a great idea. You've gotten it to a certain point through the investment that New Ink is making. And now your time is up. Mm-hmm. What's next for folks like this to make sure that your investment is really a strong investment?
Mm-hmm. So many of our members actually stay on for second or third years because it's just so valuable to them. The information is so valuable. And like the connection to staff, we really put our all into this, you know, and it does. I love, Eli, when you said that it's like a family, because we feel that way, too. We feel really connected to the people that are in the program.
A lot of cohorts of people who are members become mentors, actually.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's actually, it's almost like cyclical.
Yeah, like you said, it's an ecosystem that you're creating.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
You know.
That's unique. I mean, I've never seen any, you know, I've been working with museums for decades. I've never seen a program like this.
So what is the relationship to the museum?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because you guys are inside baseball. All right.
Well, so the program was founded by our director, Lisa Phillips, and the then deputy director of the museum, Karen Wong. And
the director of the new museum.
That's of the new museum, yeah.
Not the new one.
And so our relationship to the museum is that they offer lots of support in our public programs. They are often the curators and the education team at the new museum act as mentors in our program so that there is a, you know, an open line that way as well. The new museum's partnership team often helps us find partners, which makes it possible for New Ink members to do, you know, to present their projects offsite. So there's a really important connection there.
Can you share your community building activities? You know, I think I was reading about retreats and that kind of thing. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we often say at New Ink that we're not just incubating projects, but that we're incubating people as well, right? We are more than just our work. And so it's important to us that people are healthy in mind and spirit, especially at this time while they're doing their work. So community programs are key to what we do. And so we've introduced a kind of like, I guess, somatics training into our workshops. And so we start any kind of long professional development day with like a grounding session. We have park hangouts where we'll invite an artist to do kind of like a sound meditation. And we also will get away from our screens and ask a curator to do a tour of an exhibition they've organized at a museum or gallery. So, you know, these kinds of things help us build trust within our network and also is the reason why we feel like family.
You know, I want to talk a little bit because you mentioned retreat, and which was one of my favorite parts of the program. And
was that when you went to the Garrison Institute?
We went to the Garrison Institute, which is an old monastery.
It's a great place.
It's a great place. But is there any plans, I mean, to reinstate that? Or?
Yeah, I would love to get back to doing something like that. I don't know if we have quite yet the capacity to like take folks out of New York City again, but I want to create more intentional moments with our wider community, at least in the city to start.
Maybe it's a day program or something. Instead of
I like that idea of maybe doing a day program. We're all getting
the
comfortable
New Ink
again.
Spa.
The New Ink Spa. Tony, I love that.
Yeah, right? You're listening to Art Moves on WNYE 91.5 FM. And we're talking with Salome Asega, the new executive director at New Ink. And we've been having a really interesting conversation. And I wanted to just pick up with something that I read about you, leveraging the power of collective imagination to redistribute power, change culture, and shift policy. When you said that, can you tell us what that looks like to you? What does that mean in your mind and in your leadership capacity at New Ink?
I think when I say that, I mean that it's a reminder that we, as a collective, have a stake in this, have a stake in our future. And that just by simply dreaming and thinking together, we are already doing the work of materializing something for us, you know? And so You know, in my role at New Ink, I think of this lab space as a dream space, right? Everyone has come there to do their part to make their corner of the world feel a little lighter, better, more luxurious, right? More caring, softer, more tender. And that's what I'm hoping I can cultivate in this job, just as a place for dreaming.
You know, I'm wondering, do you see a trend? You know, are other museums picking up on this?
On this?
Yeah, Eli, you can well, chime in here as well.
Yeah, no, a lot of museums have what they call Maker's Lab and Hacker's Space, mm-hmm. but in some ways, it lacks in some ways the sense of purpose. You know, it's more like a program. Not all, some, most. But I have never seen any creative incubators. And actually, I did a session on that at one of the AAMs using New Ink as an example. I think there should be more of it because, you know, they're a powerful force in society, and why not use culture as a agent of change? Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, to just dovetail that, I agree. Like, I haven't seen too many programs that are this robust within a cultural institution, right? Like, we're not only helping you produce the project, but we're also thinking about your impact long term and want to make sure that you're when you walk out of this program that you can continue doing this, right? So that's what feels maybe a little different for us.
You know, I think one of the things might be helpful to do that, and I'll be more than happy to do it with you, is panels in different places. Mm-hmm. So the two that come to mind, of course, is, you know, Aztec, which is Association of Science and Technology Center. They have mm-hmm. conferences, American Alliance of Museum, but also smart city conferences, mm-hmm. because I think that cultural centers have a role in the evolving models of smart cities. It's not just about roads, it's also about knowledge and culture. And that's a big missing dimension to it. You know, I kind of call it the Jane Jacobson view of the smart city. Yeah. And, you know, I think that might be interesting. Also a way to get the program out there and expand who the people who are applying for it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a best kept secret in a way, don't you think?
Yeah, I love that. And that's why I think it's important for me, or something that I've kind of pinpointed early on in taking on this role, is that I want to show up in the places that we're least expected to show up. You know, I really want to get us out of traditional arts avenues or traditional tech avenues. You know, I think about how our artists are engaged in, especially coming out of the pandemic, are engaged in a conversation about the future of work and workers, right? And so where do artists fit in that? And I want to make sure that we're there when we're having local and national conversations about the economy, right, and work.
I'm thinking about Power Plant now, mm-hmm. and how you learned about New Ink, but what about other smaller arts BIPOC-led organizations? Meaning, how will you get the word? How are you going to seed yourself out there in the trenches, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that question, Tony. And obviously, that is top of mind for me, mm-hmm. right? So New Ink has come a long way. You know, I think this year, the demographics are starting to look more and more like New York City. So it's a program that is majority BIPOC. It's majority women and non-binary folks. It's for the first time, we're starting to track our disability numbers, right? So 12% of our members have disabilities. So these are important things to start just recording and thinking about what's the work ahead. So while I'm very proud that we are a majority BIPOC, there are parts of, you know, that makeup that we still can do better. So I want to make sure that we're reaching out to more Latinx folks and more Indigenous folks, and also continuing to bump up Black women leadership within our program, because that's also lacking.
It's interesting, that idea about Black women leadership, you know, and I know that's not something necessarily you would come into the program for that. I mean, what's your thoughts about doing a program that revolves around that?
Yeah, that's such a good idea, Eli. And I think that's actually how we start to bring in some interest, right? It's through the kind of public conversation, public programs. Recently, we hosted a conversation with Somewhere Good, which is a new social media app that just launched last week that is their tagline is somewhere good feels more like a kickback than it does a newsfeed. And so they're really critically thinking about how so much of our social media experience is linear, right? The interface is you're scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. So what happens if you make the internet, the social internet experience a little bit more messy, right? And fun and playful and colorful. And so they've launched this app. It's the entire team is made up of Black people. And we hosted this conversation. The entire audience was almost, I mean, like, if I had to put a number, like 90% Black people, right? I don't think we've ever had a New Ink program like that. That starts to open doors, right?
Absolutely. Now, I'm looking at some of your key indicators, I guess. And you had 25.1 million raised by New Ink members, 38.2 million revenue generated, and 595 jobs created to date. Those are extremely impressive.
Yeah. So we every year welcome a cohort of anywhere from 40 to 70 teams. And we check in with those teams after the year is over. We do feedback forms, get updates from them. And just to see how some of these projects have grown to become businesses and receive, you know, serious funding, VC or philanthropic dollars, is astounding. And so as they grow, we're able to track, you know, just our impact that way. So there are businesses, but there are also studio practices, and we count that too. So artists who came in and wanted to start making artwork, all that kind of income is also recorded.
I'm also looking at some of the tracks that, you know, I see art and code, creative science, collective abundance, future memory, extended realities. Where does all of that come from? And Eli, you can chime in too. But where does that come from?
No, I think in one little space.
Right, right. The thinking around this is so interesting. So where does...
So three of those tracks have really become kind of mainstays at New Ink. Okay. So Art and Code is all the kind of like born digital projects or artists who are kind of experimenting with software and hardware as artistic mediums. Creative Science is, you know, art or creative practitioners who are... kind of working at the intersection of art and science or thinking about the urgencies of our climate crisis. And Extended Realities is a track that supports work that's happening with VR, AR, mixed reality, all those kind of immersive tools. Now we're thinking about metaverse also on that track. So those three are really mainstays. And then the other two are always, we leave room for kind of new trends or questions that our members are asking. So Collective Abundance is a track of people who are thinking about the use of public and social space and how that can be done so more democratically and more inclusively. And so that's a track for like architects, designers, maybe nightlife workers. You know, I'm interested in that as well. And then Future Memory is a track similar, kind of inspired by what we were seeing with movers and shakers, but artists who are thinking about, or artists and designers who are thinking about what we commemorate in history and what becomes monumental.
Right, you spoke. Yeah, that was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have archivists and librarians also on that track.
Well, I have to say, Salome, this has been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And I'm so excited that you're New Ink. Do you have any closing thoughts, Eli?
Yeah, I really encourage people to apply for the program and also apply to be mentors. I mean, you know, it's one of the best things I've done.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Eli. I'll just make a quick plug here that in August, we start to look for new mentors. So if you're interested, please follow us around that time.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Art Moves is co-produced by Brick Arts Media and pre-recorded at Brick Studio in downtown Brooklyn.
This has been Art Moves with your hosts, Tony Williams and Eli Kuzlansky. Find some art that moves you and share it with someone.